as we prepare our hearts for worship, hear these words from Psalm 36. God's love is meteoric, his loyalty astronomic, his purpose titanic, his verdicts oceanic. Yet in his largeness, nothing gets lost. Not a man, not a mouse slips through the cracks. How exquisite your love, O God. How eager we are to run under your wings, to eat our fill at the banquet you spread. As you fill our tankards with Eden spring water, you're a fountain of cascading light, and you open our eyes to your light. Would you pray with me? Father God, your love, it reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness stretches to the skies. You are bigger than we can comprehend. You are better than we could ever know. And yet, you've come to be one of us. You choose to make your home in us. You choose to know us individually, intimately. You choose to carry our burdens as your own. What kind of God is this, who can number the stars in the sky and the grains of sand on the beach and the numbers of hair on our heads? We are here, O God, to worship you because you are so worthy. We are here to proclaim your majesty so that all might hear. And we are here to encounter you, O God, because our feeble hearts need a dose of your strength, a dose of your wisdom, and lots of your love. And so would you pour into us as we gather here in your presence. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue this morning in our series on Ephesians, Dear Church. Today we pick up in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Would you pray with me? And so to the Father, to the God who is able to do more than we can ask or imagine, oh Lord, would you do more in this place? More than our hearts came prepared to receive. More than we expect. Would you meet us as we turn our hearts to your word? More importantly, to your voice, to encounter you, to be called by you, to be changed by you, to be healed by you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever had someone pray for you? This prayer that was just so genuine, so grounded in love and in faith, that just sitting in their presence as they prayed for you, you felt the nearness of God right then and right there. Had a seminary professor, Dr. Hewlett Glower. Everyone loves Dr. Glower. You start every class with just this profound prayer from his heart to the heart of Jesus. And for a moment, it felt like we weren't there for academic study at all, but we were there for worship. So we saw this man who loved his Jesus. As I began my journey in seminary and started to feel called into pastorate, I found myself in Dr. Glower's office many, many, many times over those 4 years. And I would just come and sit by his desk and tell him what I was discerning, what I was afraid of. And he would just stop everything and begin to pray for me, pray God's will into my life, pray that I would see what God was doing, that I would desire to step into it and to receive it. I'd go back to Waco to visit family after I moved here. And for those first 3 years, every visit, I'd see my mom, my dad, my sister, and then next on the list was Dr. Glower. And I'd give him a call and say, I'm back in town. Can we visit? He'd say, yes, yes, come to my house. And I'd come to his house, and we'd share a cup of coffee. We'd talk about stuff, but what I was ready for was the prayer. Just get through all that. And by the end of the meeting, he would say, all right, let's pray. And he would lift up you guys. He would lift up this church. He would lift me up in every possible way. And when Dr. Glower began to pray, it was as if Jesus was right there with us, because he was. You have someone in your life who prays with you like that. Who in your life would you say has prayed for you the very most? Probably a parent. For me, I think it was my grandparents. I visit them over the years from little bitty until they passed away. And every single visit, my grandpa would end by saying, wait, before you guys hit the road, can we just hold hands and say a prayer? And he would just pray his blessing over our family, over our lives. When I got older and began to sense this calling into ministry, my grandma, every time I would come and visit, when I get ready to leave, she would say, I just want you to know that I pray every morning that God will let me live long enough to see whatever it is that he's going to do with you. My grandma, every morning, praying for me. There's someone in your life that does that for you. Because I tell you, when you are prayed for like that, you can't help but feel the love of Christ in the very deepest part of your soul. When we're prayed for like that, we begin to dream the dreams of Christ with those who can see these same dreams as well. Who prays for you like that? At the end of Ephesians 3, Paul lets this church that he loves in on the most intimate of prayers that he prays for them. And as I've visited the letter Ephesians many times during my ministry, this prayer from this pastor's heart has become a prayer in this pastor's heart for this church that I love. So dear people of BCC, if those first questions, you're kind of like, I don't know who prays for me like that. I want you to at least know this morning that I, for one, pray for you. From a heart that loves you and a heart that longs to see God's biggest dreams take root in you. Like Paul prayed for the Ephesians, I pray for you. And here's how this prayer goes. In verse 16, I pray according to the riches of his glory that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit. I pray that you have that inner strength. That inner strength that only comes through Christ. This is the kind of strength that always remembers in every season, in every high and every low, that God is good. And God is in control, and God is with us. This is the kind of strength that can look into the future, not with a heart of despair and of fear, but with this heart of great hope, because we know a good God that is here is the same good God that's going to be there too. This inner strength is the kind of strength that can stand in a room in a world of really panicky people. You know that world? And remain at peace. This inner strength, it's Jesus asleep during the storm kind of strength. It's Paul and Silas singing at midnight in a prison cell kind of strength. It's Joshua about to enter the promised land, where he has heard rumors that there are giants ready to take him out, saying, you do whatever you will, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It's that kind of strength. The inner strength that remains stable in a shaky world. It's the kind of strength that finds hope when the news says that everything is hopeless. It's strength that speaks wisdom into confusion, that speaks peace into chaos. I pray for your inner strength. And I've seen it in so, so many of you. And when I see it, I just pray that it increases all the more. My dear friends, Andy and Pam, a few years ago, they both went through their cancer journey at the same time. But when Andy was diagnosed first, I went to the hospital to visit him, and it wasn't looking very good. And I tell you, I walked into that hospital room dreading everything about it. I was afraid. I was sad. I told God, if you take them, I'm leaving too. I'm not going to do it without them. And I walked into this hospital room, and I tell you, there was this spirit of calm between these two people like I have never known in a hospital room in my life. As he's waiting for surgery. And this was just a few days before Advent. And on the whiteboard right by his bed where it said goals, you know, they give you a goal for the day. His goal said, Emmanuel, God is with us. Be at church on Sunday. This inner strength. It's only possible by the Spirit, and that inner strength in them awoke within me, the Spirit. I said, you can stand strong in this place. I am with you. You see, I see this inner strength all around us. And I pray it for each one of us. Because we live in a world that is full of surprises. And a whole lot of them are unwanted. But standing on Christ, the solid rock, it is the only way that we are going to make it out of this place whole. I pray for your inner strength. The prayer continues, I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts. I love that. To dwell in your hearts, it's to make your home with him. I pray that Christ finds his home with you. Who do you make your home with? I make my home with my husband, Guy. He's right there. And making my home with him. What that means is it means that he is the only person that I see every single day. He sees me all dressed up with my makeup on, looking my best. And he sees me with bedhead and no makeup, all the blemishes right there. He sees the real me. He sees me when I'm up and he sees me when I'm down. I can sit in his presence for hours and we can just enjoy the conversation and not get bored with each other. Or we can just enjoy the quiet peace of being in each other's presence. He's the one that I first say, hey, look at that. When I see something really beautiful, he usually doesn't even look, but I say it anyway. And he's the one who I say, did you hear that? When I hear something interesting. He's the one that I'm listening for around 5 p.m. each day when I expect him to roll up the driveway home from work, excited that he's just come back. He's the one that I am ready to greet after a really hard day. And he's the one that I'm ready to tell all about a really good day. And he's the one that I just shoot the breeze with on all those ordinary days in between. He is the one who I make my home with. It's the most intimate relationship I have with another human here on earth. And I tell you, it's just a glimpse into the life that Jesus longs for with us. I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts, that Jesus might find his home with you, just like that person that you're closest to. I pray that you might wake up every morning ready to greet him. And I pray that you might share your life with him when you're feeling all put together and whenever your blemishes are all hanging out and you got bedhead. I pray that you enjoy sharing the ups and the downs of your life with Jesus. And I pray that on all those ordinary days in between, that they would be filled up with his presence just the same. I pray that Jesus is the very first one you turn to when you want to share something beautiful. I pray that you're always listening for Jesus' arrival, listening for his footsteps, and that you're excited to hear them. I pray that you share the details of your day with him and that you let him share the details of his day with you. Because that's what it is to be at home with someone. I pray that you know the joys of living a life deeply connected to our Jesus, the truest friend, the lover of your soul. I pray for Christ to dwell fully in you. Just a couple months ago, our friend Wendy was baptized right here. She shared her testimony up here. In that testimony, she said, you know, I've known Jesus for pretty much all my life. And she said, but it's just been these last couple years between retirement and the pandemic when my whole life slowed down and all these distractions that kept me from really living with him, they went away. She said, I spent 2 years just living intimately with my Jesus. Every morning, she said, I spend the time with him. And oh my goodness, she said, this is the good life. This is what I've been missing. This is it. This is the good stuff. Intimate life with Jesus, dwelling with Jesus. I pray this for you, my friends. Would you pray it for me? The prayer goes on, verse 18. He says, I pray you have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of the love of Christ. It's a prayer for comprehension, for learning all about just how great this love of Jesus is. It's this prayer that you might spend your whole life gathering up all the information there is around to see just how real Jesus is and just how wild his love for you actually is. I join this prayer. I pray that you are so hungry, that you're hungry to understand more and more and more about Jesus, who he is and what he's done and what he is doing and what he is still yet to do. When I pray for us, my friends, I pray against complacency when it comes to our knowledge of God. I pray that there would never be a one in this church who would become lazy or indifferent when given the opportunity to actually know more about our God. Have you ever been around a little kid who has an interest in something? Holy smokes, they will drive you crazy. Just this week, I had coffee with Yesenia. She's new to our church, and she brought her kids with her. And one of her kids, his name is Ismael, and he's about 10 or so. And he came in with a Jurassic Park t-shirt and a Jurassic Park hat. And he walked in the nursery and he beelined to the box of dinosaurs. And Ismael began to tell me all kinds of things that I never even knew that I wanted to know about dinosaurs. And she said, he can do this for hours and hours on end. I have to tell him to stop talking about dinosaurs sometimes. She said he'll read every book. She said he's seen all the movies. She said when they went to the theater and saw the last Jurassic Park, when it was over, he just started bawling. And he said, it's the last one, and I'm not done with the dinosaurs yet. He loves dinosaurs. He's like, there's still more to know. There's still more to see about these dinosaurs. Oh, that we might hunger to know more and more about our God, like Ismael wants to know more about those dinosaurs. I pray for our love for his word to be like our Chinese brothers and sisters' love for his word. When I visited in Beijing, I heard these stories about these rural house churches all around China, and they share a Bible together. And so what they do is they have to cut out the books one book at a time and they pass them around. And one house church might have Ephesians for like 3 months. And these people, they know that this might be the only time in their life they get to see the book of Ephesians. So they will read it thousands of times. They will memorize it. They will try to put it deep in their hearts because they've got to know his word. Oh, I pray we would hunger for his word like that. There's more to know. There's more. There's more. I pray for our small groups. where folks in this place gather around tables, digging deeper and deeper into who God is together. I pray that they would be totally maxed out because we are all just so hungry for more. I pray that there was not a one of us in here that would ever think, I know enough about God to coast through from here. Oh, I pray against that. We love him. I pray that we're fascinated with him. I pray that we just can't not show up when we know folks are getting together to talk about him. Where else could we want to be? There's more. My friend Linda Thompson, on Thursdays, downstairs she teaches ladies Bible study. And I tell you, from what she brings to that, she spends hours every week preparing it. You can find her about 5 hours later upstairs in the great room, joining our Good Shepherd group where she is receiving the word, taking the word in, pouring the word out. She's in her 70s, and she has walked with Jesus for decades, but she gets it that there's still more. There's still more to comprehend. There's more of God to marvel at. There's more chances for our hearts and our minds to grow and to grow. My friend Kara right here, she doesn't like when I talk about her, but she gets up most days at 4 a.m., beats me by like 3 hours, 4 a.m., and she still never misses a chance to gather around the table when God's word is being opened. And when she can't make it to a class because she's over there teaching her own class, she asks for the book that we're going to read so she can do it on her own because she is not about to miss what we are learning about Jesus. She says there's more. And she is more hungry to know her Jesus than she is for anything else these days. And I tell you, week after week, her heart for him inspires my own. I pray this for all of us, that we would comprehend more and more. Have you learned anything new about your God lately? Anything new? Have you seen anything new in Scripture in recent weeks that just stopped you in your tracks? Oh, I pray there'd be 100 heads nodding, yeah, of course. Oh, that's my prayer. At the same time that we would nod together, this is my story, because this is a room full of people who have never stopped growing in our knowledge of Christ, of who he is, of what our God is all about. There is more, my friends. There is so much more. I pray that we might have hearts that are hungry for more and more. And would you pray it for me? There's another side of that same prayer. He says, I pray also for you to know the love of Christ. I'm like, well, that kind of sounds the same. But you see, in Scripture, this idea of knowing is totally different than comprehending. In the Bible, when we see that someone knows someone, we're talking about an intimate encounter. First time we see it is when Adam knows Eve. You know what comes from that? A kid. That kind of knowing is what we're talking about. To know is to experience the fullness of someone. It's an engagement. It's an encounter. I pray that we are hungry to understand in our minds more about God. That we are hungry to get more and more information about him, because when you love someone, you just want to know all about them. But I pray that we don't just stop at all this head knowledge, but I pray that your very life is transformed by this intimate knowing of Jesus. I pray that your heart and his heart would be so tightly knit together that you can't help but just see as he sees and do as he does. This is the deepest kind of relationship, this knowing of each other. And I pray that you have it with Jesus. I pray for you that every day you encounter Christ. That you see him and you feel him and you hear him every single day, because that's really knowing him. I pray that what happens in my friend Ty's heart happens in yours. You've heard her story. She had a traumatic brain injury a few years ago, totally turned her life upside down. She said in a moment, everything in her life slowed down and she lost independence and just everything was different. And she's like, but in that moment, I began to see Jesus in my life in ways that I had never even known him before. She says, this injury has been God's greatest gift to me. Yes, I lost some freedom, and yes, I lost some independence. Yes, I lost some strength. She said, but I have gained through this an intimate relationship with my Jesus, and that is the best gift of all. I pray that for us. My friend Tammy, she messages me every week at some point and tells me about some person she ran into at her job who asked her a question or asked her to pray for them just out of the blue. And she always says, that's Jesus, right? That was Jesus, wasn't it? And we'll say together, yeah, that was Jesus showing up at your workplace every single day. My heart longs for 100 of those messages every week. All of us together say, that was Jesus, wasn't it? I think I saw him today. That was Jesus, wouldn't you say? There I go, encountering him again. That's Jesus, right? Knowing Jesus intimately. Encountering Jesus daily. Experiencing Jesus always. Being transformed by Jesus day after day. That is my prayer for you. And would you pray that same prayer for me? Finally, Paul prays that you may be filled with the goodness of God. And I love that. Because it turns out we're all filled with something. Hot air, nerves, anxiety. After a Taco Bell burrito, something else altogether. Anger, love. You see, when a cup is filled with something, when it's filled with something, just the slightest bump of that cup and whatever is in it pours over. You've heard me say it before. It's the same thing with a sponge. I was talking to one of you this week about sponges and how they can be filled up with dirty water or soapy water. And you don't really know what's in it until it gets squeezed. And then whatever's in it's going to come out. I pray that what fills you is the goodness of God. That you would so live in the love of God, in the grace of God, that when you're squeezed, or when you're just barely bumped, when you're barely run into, or when you're pressed really hard, that what pours out of you looks a whole lot like our Jesus. And you see, sometimes we think we're doing really good at growing in this heart of Jesus stuff, and then someone cuts us off in traffic. And we wish them to hell, just like that. I mean, where's that coming from? And sometimes we think we are so far from God's Spirit being in us. And then we get that bad news of a layoff or that diagnosis, and we find there's this strange peace in us. We get yelled at and we don't lash back. We find ourselves saying, maybe God's Spirit is finding a home in me after all. I pray that we would be filled with God's goodness. So when the world throws its very best shots at us, which it will, what gets bumped out looks a whole lot like peace and love and joy. It looks a lot like Jesus. This I pray for you. I see it. See it in our friend Charles. You know Charles. He's in his early 80s. And he knows that his life on earth from here on out is fairly short. He talks about it all the time. But not out of this place of despair. He talks about this journey towards death as this great adventure. I mean, his days are being squeezed, but he's not anxious. He sees this opportunity. He says, I just want to make sure that I'm showing my friends and my family, and especially my grandson, what it looks like to die well. What 80-something-year-old says that? Such purpose, such peace. Right now, he's making this cross-country move at 81 years old. He's selling a home that he loves. He's leading friends and a church that he loves. And rather than being just this ball of anxiety, he keeps just saying, I'm just excited. I'm just excited to see what adventure God has for me next. He's like, it's good. It's good to be in my 80s and start over again and have to trust God with everything again. This is good. You see, he's being squeezed. But what keeps coming out of him is just the goodness of God because he's filled with it. And my friends, I pray this for you too. Would you pray it for me? My friends, you have a pastor who prays for you. And I mean that with all of my heart. I love that our church is small enough that I know you. I know your names, I know your stories, the parts you've shared with me. I get to pray for you. And we've got a spirit who prays for all of us too. These prayers for us, may our heart's response this day just simply be, yes, Lord, yes, as they have prayed in my life, let it be so. That inner strength, those hearts that are at home with Jesus, that hunger to know more about him every day, experiencing him, really knowing Christ every moment, filled with the goodness of God. Let it be so, O Lord. This is my prayer. Let it be so. Would you pray with me? And so, God, the whole sermon's been a prayer. Now I know you've heard it. Let it be so. I pray this for every individual in this room. Let it be so. For my own heart, let it be so. Grow our hunger for you, Jesus. Grow our love for you, Jesus. Grow the space in our hearts where you find your home with us, Jesus. Fill us up with your goodness. Let it be so. Amen.